You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news, what it means, and why it matters. All right, we will speak next. First, right off the bat here on Kevin McCullough Radio with the doctor who has had the best results in treating COVID-19 on planet Earth. Zero deaths under his care. Only three intubations, and one of those is already off a ventilator. How is he doing it? He'll break it down right now.
With this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
We want to ensure that doctors have the ability to prescribe these medicines. We've given the proper guidance so that decisions, educated decisions, can be made that are supported by the science and also protective of patients who require those drugs.
That's the governor of Michigan who has had to retrace her steps on the entire idea of hydroxychloroquine and the treatments that, to be candid, doctors were saying before she decided to ban the use in her state, kind of absurdly. She's not a physician. She doesn't know what she's doing in terms of medical treatment, but she went ahead and banned their use anyway. As did the governor of Nevada, who, as far as I know, still has that ban in place, and other places. Even Governor Murphy in New Jersey has attempted to threaten doctors if they decide to use hydroxychloroquine in their COVID-19 treatment. But what about doctors that have actually used it? We spoke earlier this week with Dr. Bill Grace, who is very familiar with the usages being administered in New York City. But let me turn to someone whose story I featured on this broadcast. It was about a week ago. Dr. Zev Vladimir Zelenko, who is the primary physician, board certified, and longtime physician to a community called Kiryas Joel, a New York village of about 35,000 Hasidic Jews. And Dr. Zelenko joins us now. Doctor, thank you for being with us. I appreciate your time, and I know it's got to be very valuable because you're busy treating patients nonstop.
Thank you so much for having me, but I feel this is very important, so
yeah.
Thank you.
Well, there's a new poll that's out today of a global community of doctors. About 6,200 doctors have been surveyed, of which some United States doctors were included, that rated the number, the favorability of the treatments that they are applying to the COVID cases that they're seeing globally. And the hydroxychloroquine, along with azithromycin, is the number one cocktail that they are saying is having the best effect. Doctor, you were saying this weeks ago. Why has it taken the world to this long to catch up?
So let me explain something to you. The whole world has been focusing on increasing hospital capacity, ICU bed capacity, and respirator capacity,
right,
which is important. But no one has been focusing on treatments in the outpatient setting that will mitigate and prevent patients from ending up in the hospital. And that was really concerning me because I serve a community that's of 35,000 people within a square mile. And I knew that when it hits, it's going to hit
hard and fast, everyone, as they say. You're right.
Right. And what do primary care doctors have right now? A patient comes in, you diagnose them, you tell them, okay, go home, take some Tylenol, drink fluids. And if you get into respiratory distress, go to the hospital and you get intubated and you end up in ICU. Unfortunately, first of all, we don't have any more respirators available, at least where I am. And there's no ICU beds. So if someone gets into respiratory distress, they're dead. So I wasn't satisfied with that. I did my research on... I scoured the world's responses, like in South Korea, what they did, and in France, what they did. I put together a hybrid regimen, which I'll explain later, and I started administering it to my patients, but not every patient, the high-risk patient, which I can define also. And let me give you my numbers so you should understand. I saw 911 patients that were diagnosed with the coronavirus or suspected of having the coronavirus. The
right.
reason why I say that is because I ran out of tests. So after doing a few hundred tests and having a positive rate of 65% or so, I began to see the patterns of this infection. I ran out of the tests, so I had to make clinical decisions based on how the patient looks and their symptoms, whether or not I think they have the coronavirus. So out of those patients, I identified 911 patients. I only treated 350 of them with a regimen, and because I stratified them into the high-risk group, which means over the age of 60, anyone with chronic medical problems, anyone that's immunosuppressed, or anyone who has shortness of breath or just looks terrible in my office.
Right.
And the reason why I wanted to treat this group, because depending on which country you look at, the mortality death rate is between 5 to 10%. So I identified 350 patients, and I initiated treatment immediately in the outpatient setting. This is very important. This needs to be stressed again. I'll say it again. I initiated treatment in my office and gave people prescriptions to go to the pharmacy to get medication and take it at home. That's important. Here are my outcomes. 0 people dead. 3 people on a ventilator, and fortunately, 1 is already off the ventilator. 6 patients admitted with bacterial pneumonia for IV antibiotics, and 2 already went home. Let me tell you what was the expected death rate. Out of those 350 patients, let's assume the lowest rate of 5%. So I would have had 17 dead patients and a multiple of that on a respirator.
Right.
My results were 0 dead, 3 on a respirator, and 6 admitted for IV antibiotics.
And by the way, these results matched the same stuff that Dr. Raoult came to in the south of France, and the South Korean numbers that they were posting.
Yeah, but they were treating inpatients. This is a very important distinction that I'm trying
right,
to...
Right, because you're preventing the actual hospitalization in most
exactly.
of the cases.
And I'll tell you why. Hydroxychloroquine has 2 unique mechanisms. One is very important in the ICU setting, and one is much more important in the outpatient setting. In the ICU setting, it prevents or minimizes what's called the cytokine storm, which leads to ARDS, or acute respiratory distress syndrome, which people get intubated with a 50% mortality rate.
Right.
But in the outpatient setting, I'm exploiting something else. Hydroxychloroquine is a drug that opens a channel in the cell membrane and allows for zinc to go from outside the cell to inside the cell. And that's very important because the virus is inside the cell and it's using the cell's machinery to reproduce.
Right.
And zinc interrupts that. So the whole issue is that zinc has trouble getting into the cell, and hydroxychloroquine basically allows for more zinc to get into the cell and be more effective in killing the virus. This is a very important concept that no one has been stressing, and I'm stressing it, and it needs to be exploited in the outpatient setting because we can reduce admissions by, I think, by 90%. But even if we reduce by 50%, that would be a significant benefit to society.
It would be huge. Yeah. Well, and you're also using the Z-Pak portion of the cocktail when they have secondarial bacterial infections. Is that correct?
No. No, it's not correct. I'm using, first of all, Z-Pak is a misnomer because that's a dose regimen of azithromycin. I use azithromycin 500 milligrams once a day for 5 days. That is not a Z-Pak. That's a higher dose. That's
okay.
Important to, number one. Number two, if anyone is symptomatic, I right away start with azithromycin, hydroxychloroquine, and zinc, all 3. And the reason why I do that is because the antibiotic is there, like you said, to prevent secondary bacterial infections. I do not want to wait until a patient has it. I rather
Gotcha.
Give it early because the main complication of these viral infections is that they damage the lungs and then bacteria could superinfect and cause pneumonias, and that's why patients end up in the hospital.
Well, doctor, you've taken a little bit of heat for being outspoken and for doing what you've done, but I've watched from afar and I'm very grateful for the fact that you did speak up, because I think it was the success of your research coupled with a lot of others that are kind of seen as voices in the wilderness that eventually gathered enough steam and notice to actually put some of these governors and other people that have been banning this treatment back on their heels a little bit. And it looks like now we're actually going to get enough doses of hydroxychloroquine. I think 9 pharmaceuticals are going to make up to 250 million doses before the middle of this month, which is going to be a huge help. Dr. Zelenko, thank you for what you're doing. Our prayers go with you and your community. We continue to hope for the very best, and please keep doing everything you can.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. All right, Kevin McCullough, we still got a big show. Depending on which hour of the show you're listening to, you're going to get Mike Lindell or Mike Huckabee. Take your pick of the mics. And a little bit later on, Chef David Burke and a new initiative to help those who are helping us. Kevin McCullough, big show this Friday. Stay here.